Down to Business. Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.
Now you're most welcome back to the programme. Bobby here all the way till 12 o'clock today. Now I don't need to tell you that there has been an absolute craft beer explosion, but can they all survive? One brewery that thinks they may have cracked it is the White Hag Brewing Company up in Sligo. I'm delighted to be joined by the MD of the White Hag Brewing Company, Paul Mullen. Paul, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Tell us firstly about the origins of the White Hag.
Yeah, so the brewery started just 3 years ago. So a group of guys got together. We basically wanted to brew some new and exciting beers for Ireland. And so we actually had a team of different business people. So we had accountants, we had marketing guys, and we have our production brewer, Joe Kearns from Ohio.
Okay.
So he moved over from the US to basically bring his
skills. So in terms of the capital setup of setting up the brewery and the vats and the stainless steel and all that goes with it, was it a serious capital investment or can you keep it relatively moderate and add as you go along?
Yeah, I think it's a scalable business, so you basically start at a certain size. So we selected a 35 hectoliter brew house, which was quite big for a startup at the time. But we had a model of export as well as domestic, so we designed a brewery to kind of cater for that. So
okay, you might tell me about the difference and the craft. This is from a craft beer perspective, but the difference between the on and off trade, the craft beer as we see it in the supermarkets. There's so many of them. They're from all corners of the country.
Yeah.
There's some imported. There's big breweries masquerading as craft brewers. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy, kind of noisy space.
Yeah, I think the last 4 or 5 years, it's getting really, really busy, I suppose, in terms of shelf space. But there's 100 breweries now in Ireland, just over 100. I think there's about 70 physical production breweries in Ireland. So everyone's looking for that shelf space, which is really good. So one thing when we started, we wanted to focus on quality of the liquid of beer. Was paramount to the success of the brewery. So I think Joe Kearns always says that rising tide lifts all. So if we have good quality beer out there, the consumers are getting the best product. So
so craft beers then in the on trade then in terms of the publican, how have they been received there?
Yeah, I think like even in the cities like Dublin, Galway, and Cork and that, like the craft beer is now acknowledged as kind of the norm. So even me personally, I don't even like using the word craft anymore. It's beer. I think Dublin, a lot of pubs now are independent. Like they own their own taps, so they're not owned by the larger breweries. So it's a changing time in the industry.
And would I be right in saying, and my guest is Paul Mullen, he's the MD of White Hag Brewing Company. Would I be right in saying that years ago, it would have been heresy not to stock any of the major brands.
That's right.
With the marketplace that's out there, you know, you see pubs setting up that are all craft beer based.
That's right, yeah. So I think from my perspective, it's consumers dictating, you know. So they want a different flavor, different types of beers every week. And, you know, they're more experimental. It's like the food craze as well. That people just want to taste something different. And once they know they're local made as well, you know, we have probably 2 breweries per county now all over the country. So it's a really exciting time.
A couple of other things I wanted to ask you about this, and again, I can drink maybe 1 craft beer, possibly 2. The strength of them, Paul.
Yeah, I think.
Do you need to be careful there? They're not like, you know, the old thing of going out and drinking 5 or 6 pints. You can't do that with craft beer.
Yeah, I think it's probably a perception of craft beer that, you know, you can only have 1 drink and you know, it'll knock you over.
The producer says he can through my headphones, but so God knows.
Our biggest seller at the moment is our Little Fawn Session IPA. It's 4.2%, right? And then we do The Rock, it's a modern Pilsner lager at 4.5%. So a lot of breweries now are catering for, you know, the Irish drinker who likes to drink a pint, you know, and maybe have, say, 4 or 5, as you say, and be able to go home in
England. So the percentage then, so alcohol is typically what?
Yeah, for it comes down to education. Some of the beers we do are high alcohol. So more alcohol means more sugar, more malt, more flavors. So they're more of an experience, but they're not for drinking pints of.
Yeah.
So we do the lighter beer is lighter ABV for more sessionable form of drinking. So
sessionable, that's a good term. That's what I must get my head around.
So yeah, that's
and you know, the licensing laws as they work in this country, and they are a peculiar, you know, when you can't get a drink on Good Friday and all sorts of stuff. But what about craft brewers? And you say there's 70 of them in the country. What about their ability to sell beer in visitor centres or in experiential type of how does that all work?
That, at the moment, we're not allowed. We don't have the license law hasn't been changed, but there is a bill at the moment going through the government. Hopefully in September, I think we might see some movement on that. But so basically, in every other country, you can visit a brewery and kind of there's a tap room available, so people can taste the beer on site. At the moment, we can't do that.
Okay.
You know? So fingers crossed that the law.
And given the kind of experiential nature of the product, the type of stories that, you know, that you're all building, it makes perfect sense, would it not, to make a visitor centre?
That's it. I think, you know, beer tourism can be a really big thing. Like, we know the Guinness Storehouse is one of the biggest attractions in Dublin. So I think around, you know, there's 3 hours from Dublin, you can get anywhere into 100 breweries, basically. So I think, you know, fingers crossed that the laws will change and cater for us, you know.
All right, well, stay with me because I've got another man on the phone. His name is Ben Ott, and he's from the 40 Foot Brewery. Ben, how are you? You're very welcome to the programme.
Hi there. Nice to be with you.
Now, you're in Dalston in East London. Tell us about your brewery.
Yes. So, we've got some shipping containers that we've converted into a brewery, hence the name 40 Foot.
Great.
And well, just going on to the experience that you're just talking about, that's exactly what we do. We open our tap room on Fridays and Saturdays, and they're just serving. It's always very interesting to get very interesting people around, or interested people come around, you know, who can drink the beer and see us there and have a chat and look around the brewery.
Right. So Ben, so you're the 40 Foot Brewery in the shipping container is accessible to the public, and there's licensing laws that allow you to do that in the UK. Is that right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. We've got a premises license for our whole yard, and we're in the yard, and we're allowed to sell alcohol throughout the whole week. We've got a license for the whole week, but we don't open every day because we're usually too busy stuck in the brewery.
Right. And how did the 40-foot shipping containers come about? That sounds like a pretty cool sort of earthy kind of hipster type of environment, let's call it.
Well, to make the long story short, there was a German, an Irishman, and two Swedes walked into a pub, and they walked out with a 40-foot shipping container with a brewery in it. So Andreas Pettersson and Steve Ryan, who were part of the brewery too, were already in the building where the yard is behind, and then the owners of the building decided to build a little shipping cart container park in the back. And we were sort of the second one to go in after a bakery. And then, from a compost heap being moved to putting two 40-foot shipping containers in there, we've built ourselves our little brewery in there. And the three other guys upscaled from their home brewing, and I upscaled from working for a fairly large brewery in London to having my own brewery.
Great.
Been going for 2 years since.
Great. I was going to ask Paul as well, and stay with us, Ben, because you might like to contribute on this, about the collaborative approach. So this is where, effectively, that you end up working with competitors in new markets. Paul, you might explain it for us.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, first of all, I wouldn't use the word competitor. I suppose craft beer is such a small share of the market in every country. So for us to kind of make an impact, we work with another brewery in another country, and basically we showcase our beers and our company alongside, say, the likes of Ben's brewery as well. So we come together. It's fun as well because we create a new recipe. So there's that element of craft beer as well. But basically, we use our distributor then. We get into a new market and we basically help each other market our beers.
So to use an example, and maybe we have one here. So you take in Ben's 40-foot brews, he'd take your white hags and he'd sell them and you'd sell his.
That's right.
And you'd be effectively become each other's agents.
So we're having the Hag Extravaganza as a festival now the next Saturday at the brewery. And we've our distributors, Grand Cru Beers, down, and we have Four Corners, another Irish distributor. We have 14 breweries coming in from Europe to the festival where we sell beer in these countries as well. So basically, the guys coming over here get to meet and talk to our distributors while we also market our brewery over in their country. So it's basically helping each other out. And I think
and not to be or to be perceived as being naive, but, you know, again, at the end of the day, everybody's going to be out for themselves, or they're not. Is it not a dangerous strategy in terms of market protection or market penetration?
Yeah, I think, see, the one thing about craft beer and the craft beer community, it's
what it's built on.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Ben, yeah. maybe, Ben, you want to talk on this one. But
yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I really like about the whole craft beer scene, is that it's just such a great community. There's just a brilliant community vibe from us maybe needing some help in London. There'll be other breweries helping us out there that theoretically would be competitors, but it just feels like it's a great vibe. And I mean, I'm from Germany, so that was the first thing I noticed, was the difference in the scenes in this small craft beer scene where everybody helped each other out. And it's just grown from there, and it's grown internationally, and there's so many breweries just worldwide exchanging. And it's a whole thing that makes it. I mean, Beavertown in London is probably one of the prime examples of the UK, where the owner there is pretty much traveling around all of the world now doing collaborations. And there's just some of these fantastic beers that have come together that I think wouldn't have been created otherwise, because two master brewers come together, have a great idea, turn it into something completely different again. And I think that's how these massive variety in beers has come to. And it's
a bit, and again, I put it to you, Paul, that a bit like the coffee business, which I was involved in the mid-90s, when that was evolving, when the consumer excuse me, when the consumer craves education, it's a good market to be in. We saw the same with wine over the last couple of decades. Now we're seeing it with beer, we're seeing it with whiskey, we're seeing it with gin, where there's all this appetite that the consumer has to be educated.
Yeah, I think I think so many people are traveling now around the world, and they're just picking up different ideas. So, from the Irish perspective, the craft beer scene needed the education, and I think every year the market is growing because people are experiencing more and different types of beers. So whether it's imported beer or beers that are produced in Ireland, people are tasting more and more flavours. So it's exciting.
It's a pleasure to talk to you both. Ben Ott there from the 40 Foot Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. And just before you go, Paul, the Hag Extravaganza, just tell us about it again there, in case any of our listeners might want to wander up there.
Yeah, so it's the first kind of international beer festival, and it's at the brewery in Ballymore in County Sligo. It's on the 29th. It's kicking off at 2:00. You can buy your tickets on eventbrite.ie. We are basically bringing 22 breweries. We have 14 from all around Europe, and then we have some of our Irish partner breweries coming over as well. So it's going to be exciting.
Well, good luck with that, and good luck with the business. If you want to go up to Sligo then and drink some of this, the White Sow Oatmeal Chocolate Milk Stout, I'm sure it'll be available there.
That's right.
Paul Mullen, MD of White Hag, Ben Ott, 40 Foot Brewing Company. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
Paul. See you next week. Looking forward.
See you then.
See you later. Bye bye.
Down to Business. Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.